Let's read from verse 13 through to chapter 3 and verse 7, starting in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or under governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair, or of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for your word, that we can grow, that Lord, that we can be more like Christ through it. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you'd help us to learn this afternoon, Lord, what is necessary. Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak to each individual as you see fit, dear Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we've been going through the first book of Epistle of Peter, I'll just remind you that Peter is writing to a large area, different areas that are through most of what we know as modern-day Turkey. It's quite a large spread of area. The country Turkey itself is about 10 times smaller than Australia. Okay, so if you're trying to picture Turkey, it's about the size of New South Wales, all right, if that helps you at all. And so this letter of Peter is actually going to be read in most of that area, most of Turkey, these places that are listed in verse 1, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So it's going to be read in many churches. And I'll remind you also that the epistle is about suffering and submission. So if any of those topics ever come up in your life where you need to counsel somebody or you need help yourself, 1 Peter is a book that you should go to and start looking in. Last week, in the beginning of chapter 2, we looked at separating for the glory of God, and hopefully you saw that that starts with submission to the Lord. And it's that subject of submission that we're going to continue in this afternoon. Let's just go to verse 21. That's where we're going to start. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Point one is that Jesus submitted even under suffering. This passage is all about submission. And from verses 21 through to 24, we see the ultimate example of Christ and to what length he went to in submitting to the Father. And we'll just briefly look at some verses regarding Jesus always submitting to the Father's will. Turn with me to Matthew 26, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll just read verse 39. And he went a little further, farther, depending on what English you like to, how you pronounce your words. He went a bit further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And this is this sums up Jesus' submission to the Father. He was always submitted to the Father's will. No matter what would happen to Jesus, he submitted, even under suffering. We know that Jesus, being God, has the power to stop anything he was facing at any time. And he said in, if you turn to verse 53, there in Matthew 26 as well, he said, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Jesus' intent and his desire was always to fulfill what God had planned for him. And that meant submission. That should be the same for us. Our desire and intention should be to fulfill what God has planned for us, to be in the will of God. And so Christ did not stop submitting when people told lies about him. Jesus did not stop submitting when he faced actions of torment or severe pain. He submitted and he faced whatever was in front of him. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8 sums this up very well. And Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus submitted even unto the death of the cross, a cruel, torturous death. And so I'm not getting any argument back from you, so that's all good. You're all nice and quiet. I think you all agree with me, and you're all on board that Jesus submitted under the Father in every way. And he submitted even when he had done no wrong, and he submitted even under suffering. And I think back in 1 Peter, verse 20 there, talking about faults, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God was glorified through all that because Jesus submitted. Jesus submitted. And for time, we won't go and have a look at Jesus submitting to earthly authorities, but he did, and we could look at governments and rulers and high priests that he submitted to, but we won't for time's sake. But just know that not only did Jesus submit to the Father, he also submitted to those that had been given authority in power and government on earth. So point one is Jesus submitted. Point two, Christians are to submit. In verse 21 there it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." We should follow in his steps. What does it mean to follow Christ? Because Jesus said a number of times that in the Gospels, he says to men, "Follow me," like Peter, James, and John, or Levi at the receipt of customs. And he says that we should be followers of him. He also said that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. So what does it mean to follow? Because this is very important for us. We cannot follow him physically now because Christ is not here bodily. Jesus is with on the throne in heaven. He has ascended and seated on the right hand of the Father. So in no way can we follow him physically at present. We can't be like baby ducks following a mother duck around a pond, sort of a thing, following in his physical steps. That's not what this is talking about. It says that we are to follow him by living the way Christ lived and saying the things that Christ said. Jesus lived leaving examples for us to follow. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he said in John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." This is following Christ, doing as he has done, becoming servants. And throughout this passage, we'll look at humility. You'll see humility. I'm not going to mention it too much, but it's submission has a lot to do with humility. In this very verse 21, Peter says that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow, something to follow. Christ's life is the pattern that we should be copying, if that makes any sense. That is what following is. When you do sewing and you put out the pattern on the fabric, you want to make this nice dress or this tailored suit or whatever it might be, you follow the pattern. If we're going to be followers of Christ, we need to follow the pattern. Follow Christ. So Jesus submitted even under suffering. Christians are to submit, and maybe it's time that we define that word submit a little bit better. Last week, you might remember that the word submit, I told you, comes from two Latin words, sub, meaning under, and mitto, meaning to send, and so the idea is to send under, and that definition just went right over your head, didn't it? Because it's something that doesn't work in our heads, right? Unless you're really geeky or something. Anyhow, or into language, I guess. But maybe a better definition is the Webster's Dictionary definition, and that means to yield, resign, or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another. And maybe that went straight over your head as well. So let's try and simplify it. It really means to obey. I think we can boil that right down. Submission means to obey. Okay? And if you look at this text, and particularly in chapter 3 and the beginning of that, and it's obviously talking about the wives, but it mentions about obedience and submission and that they're the same thing, okay? So, submitting is to obey. Now, what does that look like even more? How can we get a better understanding of this? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 16. Often, and not every time, but often, in if you want to understand a word better, if you find it where it's first used in the Bible, you can often gain a good understanding of that word and what it means just by the context of the scripture. And so here in chapter 16 is where we first find the word submit. All right, so Abram and Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah, as they will be once their names are changed, they make some bad decision, or make a bad decision. Let's pick it up in verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And before we go any further, that word despised is a very important word in this passage, and it's in when we're talking about submission, okay? Despised. Hagar, Sarai was despised in Hagar's eyes. Now, to despise means to scorn or disdain. It means to have a low opinion of, okay? Low opinion. If that's an easy way to remember despise, to have the lowest opinion of. The Bible uses the word in Proverbs chapter 1 as well, where it says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, fools have a low opinion of wisdom and instruction. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when you have two masters, else will he hold to one and despise the other. Okay, he's going to hold one master up and say, yes, I like this master, and he's going to have a low opinion of the other. All right, so that's how we can understand the word. It also means to abhor. Okay, so it's to think little of a person or a thing, to not place much value on that person. And I think it's very interesting that here in verse 4 it says that when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So before the conception of Ishmael, here you have Hagar, I believe, looking up to Sarai or Sarah. Okay? There's a change here. Before, she wasn't despised. Now she is. Okay? So just note there's a change there. And now Hagar thinks little of Sarai. She thinks better because she can have children. God's blessed her with the fruit of the womb. And there was some other things there. But it was definitely to do with the conception of Ishmael. Now, we can apply that in our own life, can't we? Looking down on people, thinking little of people, thinking that you're better than someone else. I'm better because I can fill in the blank. I'm better because I brush my hair to the left. I don't know what it is, okay? But you might think you're better because you can do a certain thing that someone else can't. You might think you're better because you can run 50 metres in 50 seconds, which is not fast at all, don't worry. All right, if you're trying to calculate that. Or you might think yourself better because you wouldn't do that thing that person is doing. And so you have a low opinion You're putting them down, you're lifting yourself up. All right. We ought to think highly of others. The Bible says that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. What that other person is doing that you don't like or think little of, okay, that could have been you if Christ didn't intervene in your life. Okay? That could well have been you if it was not for Christ. Now let's keep moving. Verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Okay, so Hagar has thought little of Sarai. She's despised in her eyes. And Sarai deals hardly with her, okay? Maybe she's physically rough with her. She's beating her. I don't know what she's actually doing. Possibly it's just with words and tone of voice and a face of scorn that usually goes with that. But whatever it is, Sarai is dealing hard with Hagar. And Hagar's response is to get out of here. I'm running. I'm fleeing. I'm getting away. And she's off. Okay? Now let's go to verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. There's a number of things interesting in this passage, but first just notice with me in verse 8 that the Lord reminds Hagar that she is Sarai's maid. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid? That's important. Take note of that, okay? The Lord is saying, don't you know you have a place? It's important for your own good. God places us in under people for our own good. Okay, then he tells her, go back and submit. Okay, after he's asked a couple of questions, whence camest thou? He knows. And where's she going to go? Where are you going? Well, I'm just running. That's what she said. And God says, go back and submit. Go back and obey. Put yourself under her hands. Get back in your place, Hagar. And this Old Testament passage really has a lot in it. We won't keep going there, but we understand that submitting is obeying, but also it holds the thought that direction or commandment that we are given by the one in authority has value to us, okay? And that's where humility in esteeming others higher than ourselves come in. When there's a lifting up of ourselves, we call that pride. When there's arguing and disobedience, we call that a stubborn and rebellious spirit, which God calls sin. So when the authority in our lives says do, those words to us should be of value. Because we think highly of that person. We esteem that person. That person is lifted up in our eyes. It is someone that we should understand has been placed in that position by God for our good. And because of that, and for no other reasons, we should find them valuable and what they say to be valuable. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense to people. Yep, some nods, good. Okay. So one, Jesus submitted, even under the suffering, leaving us an example, okay? Two, Christians are to submit. Now, I'm going to say the people in this room, most of yous, are saved and Christians, okay? So therefore, we are to what? Submit. Right, you got the point. Jesus submitted, Christians are to submit, we are to submit. Good. Now, let's go back to 1 Peter. Peter, in this passage, he gives examples of, or he directs some instruction to different groups of people that are in different situations. But I want to remind you that this was written in about AD 63, when Nero was emperor. Very, very wicked ruler, okay? And Peter is writing, and as we read in verse 13, we need to remember that Christians are facing great opposition, great persecution, from not only from Nero and the Romans, but from others. And Peter, here in verse 13, he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." For the Lord's sake. And that's the key to having success in submitting. If you're having trouble in submitting, you need to know that it's for the Lord's sake. Okay? You're doing it unto the Lord. Whether you're children to parents, wives to husbands, husbands to Christ, employees to employers, ultimately, when you're obeying that higher authority, you're doing it under Christ. You're obeying the Lord. It should be done as if you're doing it under the Lord. It's what Colossians 3:23 says. 23 and 24. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." If you're saved and you're under authority, praise God. That authority is there for your good. And you can serve the Lord by serving that authority. Romans 13. Turn there, because these are good passages to remind ourselves. Romans chapter 13. Paul says very similar things here. Start in verse 1. "Let every soul," who's that? "Every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So many things there just ring true of what Peter is saying. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, he says that governors, all under governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance and foolish men. These people, these authorities in our life, are to help us. That's the role as husbands and fathers. We're to point everybody in the right direction. As pastor, he's pointing people in the right direction. That's the God-given authority. That's our job. But Peter says in verse 13, he says, submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And then he gives us these lists of position who we are expected to submit to. Let's just briefly run through some of these. He says to kings or governors, okay, they're the rulers in our country, and I really think Australians have a lot of trouble submitting to authority in all areas. And we have this bushranger Ned Kelly attitude of rebellion, and it's something that we need to be, as Christians, on the watch for in our lives and on the lives of those that are under our authority if we're in that position, because it's not good. And I need to warn you about how bad that is, because remember the definition I just gave for despise means to have a low opinion of, okay, to think little of or to hold in the lowest opinion. If you just quickly flick over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse 9. Okay, Peter's been talking about false prophets and the judgment to come for the wicked. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And then Jude also speaks about the wicked, and one of the things they do, one of the things listed there, is that they despise dominion and speak evil of dignitaries. And we won't go there for time, but also both in both those passages are very similar. They both indicate leaving it with the Lord. If there's a problem, if we need to appeal, we can go and appeal to our higher authority. We can appeal to God and leave it with the Lord. But let us not despise the one giving us the command. It's very important that we don't despise them. We don't want to be part of that crowd. And I'm not saying this is something easy to do. I mean, the government we've had for the past 10 years that promotes things that God hates, like same-sex marriage and killing of unborn children and assisted death. I mean, those things are horrible, and it's hard to submit to a government like that. But God asks us to submit to a government like that. We can't despise them. This submitting, and obviously the despising also, the despising goes beyond just a political rulers, okay? That's despising any authority in our life. Any authority. Whether it's parents, husbands, teachers, employers, or pastors, whatever else you can stick in that list, okay? All right. Let's go back into 1 Peter. So he's given some directions. If you're under kings and governors, which we all are under some sort, then in verse 18 he says servants, okay? But before we do that, I'll just mention there is no actual specific commandment to children here to submit, all right? But what did Peter say? He said Christ left us an example that we should follow, okay? So there is application to children in all of this, to obey your parents as unto the Lord. And even more interestingly, that word subject, servants be subject. The first time you find that word subject in the Bible is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. And Jesus has just been in the temple for 3 days. Mary and Joseph don't know where he is, and they find him. And then it says there, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He was subject unto them. So children, there is application in your life to obey in this. Okay, verse 18, Peter addresses the worker and he writes that you're supposed to be subject both to the master that's nice and to the bad boss, okay? The one that lets you stay in the air conditioning all day and putting tables together and brings your coffees and all those things, and also to the boss that sends you out into the hot sun, putting a playground together and all these sorts of things. So, anyhow, you've got to be subject to both masters, okay? Subject to both, whichever your master is, all right? Doesn't say be subject to the boss next door. It says subject to your master. All right. Let's keep moving here. Jump right down to chapter 3. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And one thing to note here, it seems that Peter is indicating that the husband, either way, one could be saved, you could be or could be not saved, okay? So he leaves it sort of open there. If any obey not the word, he says. So for the unsaved, he's going to notice two things. He's going to notice your conversation, your chaste conversation, okay? That's your pure lifestyle. And he's going to notice that it's coupled with fear. And that, I believe, is a fear of not pleasing Christ, a fear of not bringing glory to God, a fear of not living according to the pattern of Christ's life. Okay? A fear in not submitting. All right, let's jump down to verse 7. And it says, likewise, ye husbands. Now, husbands, you're going to notice that the word submit or subjection isn't used here. Okay? But there is application for us. Okay? Peter says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. Okay, now Christ expects something of husbands. One, he expects them to, the husband, to lead the wife and help them spiritually. He expects the husband to be submitted to him in all areas of life. And if you remember in Ephesians, the husbands are told to do what? To love the wives. Yeah. Love the wives like what? Like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, we've got a big expectation. We've got heavy load. But we have a great Savior that can help us. So, husbands, we need to lead by example. If we expect our children to submit, if we expect our wives to be a submitting, a subjection, whatever words you want to use, that it means that we're leading by example because we're following Christ's example. We need to follow Christ's example. If there's going to be any men of God in the future, in our children, it's because we, as leaders in the church, leaders in our home, need to lead by example. All right. So there's something in this passage for everyone. Everyone can make application in this. There is some area in your life you must submit, okay? And Jesus submitted even unto suffering. If you have any problems with submitting, Have a look at Christ's life. He is the example for us. Christians should submit, and therefore we should submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake.